And that victory chapter is sure and certain. The Bible is true when it tells us that Jesus is risen from the dead. And so I affirm with you this morning that great statement and callback that simply says, He is risen, and you know how to respond. Now that you know how to respond, we'll do it and you can respond. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
What an audacious thing to say. I had a conversation not too terribly long ago with someone in this community, whom I won't name because they wouldn't like it. But as we were talking about things, he made an observation, thinking that he was being really profound and wise. And he said to me, well, you know, Christianity is pretty much like every other religion. And I was aghast that he would say such a thing. Because no other religion has their God die for them and pay the penalty for their sins. Every other religion is still trying to get the adherents to it to pay for their own sins. Christianity marvelously tells us that Christ paid the price, that He died, that He was buried. And then Christianity really steps out of the box and says that the one who paid the price was raised again to life on the third day. That, my friends, is not like any other religion that you can ever imagine. Your hope, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is rooted firmly in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's who we're here to celebrate this morning. And can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Jesus Christ has done and is doing and will complete a task that he describes in one of the parables. Matthew 13 has that parable, beginning in verse 47, when he says this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into a fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Our King, our risen King, is gathering all kinds of fish. He was doing that as he was saying to people, come and follow me, while he walked this earth. And he was doing that when he preached to thousands and fed them, like we were wonderfully fed this morning. He was doing that when he delivered testimony to the people who were his opponents and warned them about what was coming. Jesus was doing that, and then after his resurrection, the transformation of those who were his followers is mind-boggling. Peter, if you just take one example, turns from kind of a wannabe tough but cowardly apostle into a man who would stand rock solid as a testimony to his risen Savior. He was transformed by a resurrected Lord. All of the disciples were transformed by a resurrected Lord, so much so that they all died for what they believed. Exception possibly made for John, who died in prison, likely in old age. Not exactly an easy end for himself. It has been said that some will die for a lie they believe is true. But no one dies for a lie they know is a lie. All of those apostles died for the truth that Jesus Christ was a risen Lord, and that he was gathering fish. And then he told them as he was going back to heaven, he said, "Go and make disciples." He will say, after the Holy Spirit comes on you, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." It was always the commission of his fathers to go out and to bring the gospel to all the world and to gather from every tribe and every tongue and every nation those who would be his followers. And that's been going on ever since, with some focus in one part of the world and another at different times, but it's always been going on, that Jesus Christ is in the business of gathering all kinds of fish. Jesus says in several different places who he is and what he's about. In John chapter 6, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that have seen me and yet do not believe, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on this last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus Christ is a great net gathering all kinds of fish, like you and me. Jesus Christ has been at work gathering us to himself. But it's not just the believers that are going to be gathered. Amidst the net that is cast out, all souls for all time will ultimately come before him. Everyone will have to stand before Jesus Christ. Don't you dare believe that Christianity is just like the other religions, that just sort of trail off when it comes to the problem of people who don't believe. Because the people who don't believe are going to receive a fearsome end. Because you see, the king will sort the good from the evil. Everybody needs to come by way of Jesus Christ. But he says this in John 12, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." And he said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." And then he says, "The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into fiery furnaces. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." In the midst of this gathering, it is not true that all people will go and be with God. There is not a universalism that says everybody's going to be okay on that day. Because there's going to be a sorting between the different kinds of fish. The good and the evil will be recognized, and the evil will be cast aside. Because you see, the king, when he is sorting, has in mind the fact that he will also judge the unrighteous. People often wonder why God doesn't just destroy all of the evil. Well, we've looked at some parables that have explained it. We've looked at a parable where there was good seed and bad seed planted together, and the good seed and the bad seed grew up together. And the disciples wanted to know if they should go and they should pluck out all of the bad seed. He said, "No, because in doing so, you might pluck out some of the good as well." The opportunity for people who don't know Jesus and who become followers might be unsettled if there was a rapid judgment of all. Jesus Christ is a saving God, you see. And he's come down to us and given us opportunities to believe. But one day, it'll all be gathered together and the sorting will have been done, and the king will take the unrighteous and he will throw them into a fire. Revelation 20 tells us, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he is thrown into the lake of fire." Do not believe for a moment, Christian, that the unrighteous, ungodly folk who seem to have it all are really profiting. Because there is coming a day when judgment will be rendered. And the risen king is going to render the judgment. And he's going to look over the course of everyone's lives, and he's going to see what is written in their books. And oh, if we were to fall into the hands of an angry God and judged according to what is written in the course of the book of our lives, none of us could stand before his holiness. You see, if you're depending on your right standing to have any hope of an eternal life with Jesus, think again. Think again. Because if the examination of our books was just like a mirror looking back at us, we would all find in there way too much sin. The judgment would be righteous if it was made against us in our own standing. And all those folks who want to mock and ridicule Jesus Christ, who want to say that Christianity is pretty much just like every other religion, I fear for them. I had a good conversation. I won't say that this gentleman I was talking with came to saving faith, because he wasn't ready to do that, I guess. But at least I can leave saying I know he heard some truth that day. I had to hear that kind of truth. And I had to become convinced that I was a sinner. And I had to be convinced that the wages of my sin was death. Now that I look back on it, it shouldn't have been so hard to convince me. There was too much evidence. And I hope as you look at your life, you can say, I can be convinced that I'm a sinner and that the wages of my sin is death. But oh, if you've come to understand that he's a resurrected Savior who carried the weight of your sin to the cross and paid the penalty for it, so that you would not have to. And you came to a place where you believed that Jesus Christ had done this for you. You could then open up the book of your life and you could find written there, righteous in Christ. Not because of anything you did, but because a risen Savior had accomplished it all. Oh, Christianity is not just another religion. Because no other religion can make such an offer. The king is gathering all kinds of fish. And the king will sort the good and the evil. And the king will judge the unrighteous. The parable itself stops there when it says that the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This truth is such that we should have it fixed in our minds carefully. But I don't believe that I can just leave it there, because I believe we need to know that it's not the end, because the king will make the righteous shine. The king will make the righteous shine. This is from an earlier parable, but just a few verses before the one we've looked at, when he ends it in 43, that the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. You see, Jesus Christ isn't risen just for himself. Jesus Christ is risen so that each of us who follow him will be raised with him in a final day. And we will shine like the sun before our King. We won't outshine Him, but oh, we're going to shine. I love every once in a while to clean my motorcycle. Not probably often enough. And I haven't ever taken it to a show because it's not a show bike. But you know, there's a moment when you wipe all the grime off of it and you put a little polish on the chrome, and then you can stand back and you can say, man, that looks good. Nah, it's just an ordinary kind of bike. But I like it. I like to see it shine. You and I are just ordinary kind of folk. But Jesus Christ is putting His shine on you. And one of these days, He's going to step back and He's going to say, man, look at him or her shine. Look at what I've done for that soul who believed on me in a Sunday school class, or for that soul who believed on me as part of a college ministry, or that soul that was won to Christ in the middle of a home Bible study, or that soul that went to a church service one day and said yes to Jesus Christ. And then Jesus started putting spit and polish on them so that they would shine like the sun. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead? Hallelujah. Amen to that. But if that's true, and I say if in the sense of since that is true. Since that is true. It means that Easter isn't just about Jesus, though He is the most important one. But it's also about you hitching your wagon to His star and being raised with Him, so that in that day when that final judgment starts taking place and all of the unrighteous are being separated and thrown aside into a lake of fire, you'll be able to stand there and say, I'm righteous because of Jesus, and I can stay in heaven forever. And as I like to say, eye has not seen nor ear heard what the Lord has in store for them that love Him. It's an easy thing to make Easter just another day of the calendar. But you know, Christians, that Easter isn't just a day on the calendar. We don't just say He is risen on one Sunday out of the year, because He's risen every day of your life from here on. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude. Remember, He's a gathering Lord. He's, over the years, He's been drawing souls by the billions to Himself. So, a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of many mighty peals of thunder, cry out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. One day, your voice will sound with that great multitude, saying hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Easter isn't just a day on the calendar year. We don't even know for certain what day it took place. But this is as good as any to be reminded of the historic truth of it. But never forget, it's an every Sunday lifestyle. Jesus Christ, the King, is gathering all kinds of fish. And Jesus Christ is going to sort the good from the evil fish. And Jesus Christ will judge the unrighteous. And he will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. But he is also going to make the righteous shine. And oh, are you ready to hear Jesus Christ, the risen King, say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the risen Lord our God, reigns. He who was dead now lives. And whoever believes in him shall never perish, but they'll shine like a righteous Lord they're following. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us a day to celebrate what you've done. Help us fix in our minds the truthfulness of this parable, that you are gathering and you will be sorting and you will judge. But those of us who believe in you, and oh Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't believe in you, today they would trust you. That everyone who believes in you will shine with righteousness because of the gift of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Can I give you one further word? If anybody's here today that doesn't know if they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, will you talk to somebody here today about that? If it's me, that would be a great honor. But there are so many other believers here that could be visited with, who could be a help. Because Easter Sunday would be a great Sunday to come to Christ, and I never know but what the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you this day to follow Christ. Amen.